All right, once again, this week it's time for the Shane Christopherino podcast show right here on MusicLifeMagazine.net. Make sure you check it out, MusicLifeMagazine.net. This podcast appears weekly there. A lot of great features on that website. There's band photos, there's interviews, there's TV interviews, and as mentioned, this podcast, MusicLifeMagazine.net. Well, I'm excited for today's show. It was about a year ago, maybe a bit longer, when I was at Sessions on the River in Fort Erie, Ontario, beautiful Fort Erie, Ontario, and saw this young lady, her name is Rose Cora Perry, and her band, The Truth Untold, which consists of Rose Cora Perry and a gentleman by the name of Tyler Randall. So the two of them performed this showcase. We did an interview, if I recall, for television that day. And since that day, have been following her on social media and such. She's from London, Ontario. She's a musician. She's a media personality. And she's a model as well. And a little known fact about Rose Cora Perry is that she was crowned one of the 72 hottest babes in Canada by UMM Magazine. She had an album in 2010 called Off of the Pages. I mentioned Onto the Floor, which came out in 2016. Her vision is to inspire, to provoke thought, and to relate. Up next on the Shane Christopherino podcast show, Rose Cora Perry.
This is the Shane Christopher Neal Podcast. As co-host of BS Live Rocks on your TV and co-founder of BS Live Rocks Entertainment Group, Shane has interviewed artists from Whitesnake, Guns N' Roses, Jason Aldean Band, and Canadian rock stars from Honeymoon Suite to Lee Aaron, Haywire, and Platinum Blonde. Shane is a drummer, podcaster, television, radio, and event host. This podcast is sponsored by MusicLifeMagazine.net. Now let's get talking. Here's your host, Shane Christopher Neal.
All right, here we are live, sort of, in the SCN studio. It is tighter than the Pentagon. Ronnie LaLonde has brought the video camera, so this will be on YouTube, and we'll get you all those links a little bit later. First, before we get started, the Maysides opened up this show with a song called Loved and Lost, a great Niagara band, the Maysides. The Maysides on Facebook. They are an indie punk rock band. Make sure you check them out. And also, thanks to Brian Hammer Hamilton. It's Saturday morning, so he's probably still hammered. He's the drummer in Step Echo. He's also my voice guy who does all the intros and extras because he's got nothing else to do with his life besides that. And play drums. All right, we're ready to go. Rose Cora Perry and The Truth Untold. Welcome to the SCN podcast.
Thanks for having us.
We got Tyler there. Say hi, Tyler.
Hi.
Tyler, I'm surprised he's not at the gym. Apparently, he's a junkie now, and he's at the gym all the time. And, you know, anyway.
Yeah, he's trying to get huge.
Interesting. It's funny. We connected, a year ago, maybe it was. At Sessions, you were doing a showcase there. We did a little interview for television. And since then, I've been following you on social media. And you've been doing a lot of great things. And you're a very intriguing person, a great musician. You have a lot of talent. And I'm glad that you're joining us to talk about it all. Let's start with this. Take me back to when you started, Rose, as an artist, and what your vision was compared to where it is now. Like, you seem to be going 1,000 miles an hour in the right direction.
Well, I mean, I would say that definitely when I became a solo artist in 2010 versus what I'm doing now has changed dramatically. But I think that that was just part of my artistic journey in terms of really figuring out who I wanted to be artistically and professionally and how I wanted to share my music and my art with the world. And so, I had previously fronted two fairly successful rock and roll projects, and I was very obnoxious and in your face in them, and that was all fine and good. But I wanted, as a solo artist, to challenge myself songwriting-wise and get outside of my comfort zone, as well as harken back to the fact that I'm also a classically trained vocalist. And I wanted to show that off a bit more, which, you know, fronting a grunge project didn't really allow. So my songwriting certainly changed, but I believe it's for the better. I believe that it's more dynamic and more varied and just more interesting overall. And then when I decided to release my second solo album in 2016, I really didn't want to do the acoustic singer-songwriter thing in terms of the touring circuit because it just, it never really suited my personality. So I was really excited to get a band back together, which is how I met Tyler, my incredible drummer, just randomly via Facebook, a musicians group, and certainly haven't looked back since. And I will definitely say that he made me reinvigorate and rediscover my love for distortion. So you can expect more distortion and more heavy rock and roll from us in the future.
More leather. No leather.
When I saw you in 2016, it was just the two of you, and you guys did a great job. And it's funny because there's a lot of two-piece bands out there. Did an interview with Crown Lands about 2 or 3 weeks ago, another two-piece band from Oshawa that won Rock Search with 97.7. The Standstills, of course. You know, it was, but you're adding to that now, I understand, by looking at this bio. You're going to have a bass player now coming out on the road in 2018 for the tour. So talk about how that happened and how you got to know Amber.
Sure. So originally I did envision having a three piece, but after having bad experience with bassists and a whole tour lined up for 2016 and 2017, we're like, fuck this. We're going to go out there on our own and we're going to do it. So we changed the arrangements of the songs that we had put together for the live show so that we could equally showcase each other's talents, but make up for the lack of low end because it was only the two of us now. So we just changed things and made it work. And it seemed to go over really, really well. And then we magically one day were playing this evening performance in Victoria Park here in London for a non-for-profit organization. And Amber was recruited as the sound woman for the job. And we had to say, like, out of everyone we had ever worked with, she was by far not only the easiest to work with, but the most talented and just really understanding what we needed from our perspective of being on stage. And so it didn't take long for us to hunt her down and tell her that she's going to be coming with us to every show thereafter.
Hunting's a bit aggressive, I think.
Okay, well, but perhaps not hunting, but we recruited her to work with us indefinitely, and she was right on board because she loved what we were all about and loved the music. And so we kind of, continued to work with her from a sound woman perspective. And then after performing in NAMM, which we'll get to later, both of the companies that ended up being our sponsors, you know, said they really, really dug our sound and the music. And they felt that, you know, we're really great as a two-piece and really great with our performance. But they did think that it would be stronger if we got a bassist. And as these people are speaking from a place of authority and very well respected in the music industry, we're certainly going to take their advice, you know, under consideration. So we spoke with Amber, and I should mention, too, that she's an extremely talented multi-instrumentalist that already plays something like 12 instruments. So it's not like this was a stretch for her. But we spoke with her, and we said, okay, so we don't really like anybody else we've tried to work with. There's been a whole onslaught of issues, whether people just being unreliable or having ego issues or just not understanding the vision of the project. We like you. We like working with you. We know we can count on you in a professional capacity. Can we teach you how to play bass and you can be in our band?
Yeah, something with the thicker strings on bass, it just doesn't agree with
you. Do you find, though, so as a two-piece, because Tyler's behind the drums, you're the only person at the front. Was there a lot of pressure for you as far as being an entertainer? Because let's face it, live music is about the entertainment component as much as it is about the music. And now that you're adding to that, does that make your role as the entertainer easier? Is it more difficult? Like, I don't know what Amber would be like as a personality on stage, but does that change that at all?
I don't think it probably will, because I'm very much used to and comfortable fronting a band and being, you know, part comedian, part front woman, part guitarist, you know, being a jack of all hats, I guess. That was really bad, but you know what I mean. Jack of all trades, wearer of many hats when I'm in front of a microphone, because that's just kind of the nature of being a front person. You have to be confident and comfortable up there and understand that people are not coming merely to hear music. They want a show. They want to be entertained, as you said.
Now, the other thing, you go to Nashville as the only Canadian act, right? So how did that happen? Because that to me is, I thought, you know, yeah, it's in the States, but I figured there would be at least 8 or 10 Canadian acts. So you're the only Canadian act there. How do you get those type of opportunities?
So honestly, and I mean, this is definitely worth mentioning just as a piece of advice for independent musicians in general. It has to do with the fact that you know, when you establish relationships with people, you know, whether it's a media contact or somebody at a musician, like a musician's association or a promoter or an instrument manufacturer, it's really important to always express your gratitude and try and maintain those relationships, because you never know what something is going to lead to. And it honestly all goes back to thanks to the fact that I established a relationship with Daisy Rock Guitars some 14 years ago when I became their very first Canadian endorsee, because they hadn't even really expanded into the Canadian marketplace yet. And the founder of Daisy Rock, Tish, has been trying to get me to go to NAMM now for a couple of years. And I admittedly didn't realize how great of an opportunity it was. I know that's my own fault. When I told Tyler about it, though, he was over the moon, because he's like, NAMM is huge. And I'm like, really? He's like, yeah. But he's also a gearhead and I'm not. I try to stick on the music industry side of things, whereas he's really invested in, you know, learning about new instruments, new product lines and whatnot. So I looked into it. And I'm like, oh, yeah, OK, we're going to do this. Richie Sambora played. That's my favorite guitarist of all time. This is happening. So we spoke with Tish and she gave us the invite and then suggested we apply for a showcase. So there's this formal application process you have to go through in order to even get granted a showcase in the first place. And the only way you can do it is if you're recommended by somebody who's a vendor. So that's how Daisy Rock came in, because we would be going there to represent their official brand. And as it turned out, which seems to be a trend in general in terms of festivals anymore, is that they decided for this past year at Summer NAMM, they were going to have a very local focus. But because they really liked the affiliation with Daisy Rock and what we were all about, they decided to bring us in as the only Canadians. And we surely did not take that for granted. We understand how huge of a deal it is and what an honor it was to be able to represent Daisy Rock and Canada.
So, Tyler, let's talk about your drum deal that you got with Mapex. Now, you've been playing Mapex for a while now. You had mentioned to me earlier you were talking to the rep here, and then you went down to meet them in the States. Tell us how all that happened.
I think it was Rose reached out to Mapex, and then she got in contact with the Canadian rep, and so he called me when I was actually at work. And, it wasn't a problem, so I was, like, in training, so I just, like, kind of walked out of the room, and we had a little chat about what I liked about Mapex and like where the band's going and how we see ourselves and how many years and the plans for the year. And so he seemed to like where we're going. He already knew Rose from her past project, and so he knew that she was strongly established in the music industry and everything. So then we headed down to Nashville and at NAMM, and I met up with the US rep, and he was already contacted prior to the event as well. And he came out to our showcase and watched us. He was impressed with our playing and our capabilities. And we talked a bit more, and I guess that sealed the deal, as it were. So
what is it you like about Mapex drums? I'm a drummer as well. And I mean, I play Mapex as well. I have like three or four different brands I play, but what is it that you personally like about their make of drums?
No, just the quality, the looks, the quality, the sound. Like every time I bring my set out as like a
backline.
Yeah, sorry, it's somewhat early. backline.
Yeah, it's almost noon. It's pretty early.
yes.
We're musicians. Come on.
I was in bed at like 5 last night. So. just the sound. Like for years, I think probably since 2007, some guy suggested, you know, Mapex Saturn, and I checked them out and they're great, but I never thought I would have the money or whatever to invest in it. And then finally, a few years ago, I picked one up and I haven't looked back, because I always thought Mapex was a high quality manufacturer, and just I like what they're doing with the shells and the different technology, like sonically and everything like that. So, and the hardware is awesome as well, too. Like I love the Armory series and I love the Falcon double pedal. So it's people just don't give them, I don't think, as much credence as they should be. Like there's other big manufacturers, but I don't know, just every time someone uses my Mapex, they're blown away. So
for sure, like every time we provide the back line for a live show and we bring Tyler's kit out, everyone just looks at it in amazement. So they're awed by just the aesthetic, because it's so beautiful.
It
and then
beautiful, yeah.
It is a stunning kit, and it brings out the blue in Tyler's eyes. and then when they actually play it, I mean, if they weren't already awed by the aesthetic of it, when they play it, they're like, wow, that sounds incredible.
See, yeah, you're making drummers better by them using your kit. That's awesome.
Damn right.
Yeah.
So what are you guys hoping to accomplish in Anaheim? So you're playing the Whiskey. We'll talk about that. That's amazing. I hosted an event there this summer for a Toronto artist called Susie Corey. She played along with LA Guns, and it was just a packed house and a great venue. Have you ever been to the Whiskey number one? And what are you hoping to accomplish and get out of NAMM? Is it more of a networking thing, just going to check out some of the gear, which would be more like Tyler's, I guess, road more than yours, Rose? But what do you hope to get from all that?
Yeah, I'm drooling already.
Yeah, he is. He's drooling.
I'm telling you, an entire floor of drums. It's absolutely amazing.
So basically what you're telling me is my drummer is going to abandon me for the whole event,
pretty much.
I'm not going to see him for several days.
Yeah, some guitar stuff too, maybe. So.
Well, I think in terms of playing the Whiskey, it goes without saying that the club is legendary, having, you know, birthed the careers of people like Guns N' Roses. So it's kind of a big deal. That's an understatement of the century. And we're incredibly honored. And it's a huge, huge thanks to Blackstar Amplification for making it happen, because they're the ones who, opened the doors for us in terms of getting us that gig and brought it all together so that we could be showcasing in LA at this legendary club on behalf of them. So it's a pretty, pretty major opportunity. And, you know, we just want to have a great time and just be able to say, yeah, we played the Whiskey. Wow, that's incredible. What an honor. And I got to, you know, once again, represent one of the companies that is really meaningful to me sound-wise in terms of the band, as well as meaningful to me career-wise, because it's a brand that I'm happy to be behind and happy to promote, because I love what they do, just like Tyler feels about Mapex. I feel the same way about Daisy Rock and Blackstar. In terms of going to Anaheim's NAMM, we understand it's going to be quite a different experience and a lot more expensive than the one in Nashville. So we're really excited to see some of the educational panels, actually. Kevin Lyman from Warped Tour is speaking, as well as the Andertons. And that's a YouTube channel that Tyler particularly watches religiously. So we're very excited to see what they have to say and what they'll be speaking about, in addition to, obviously, you know, the incredible product demos and being able to network and just have the experience. Because I think that Canada has some major music industry events, so to speak, like CMW and North by Northeast, but they don't really have a focus on the music products industry component in the same way. So it's interesting to just see the music industry presented in that light and be more oriented towards the musician from an in-studio as well as performance stance, and how learning about these different products and these different companies can affect your overall sound, because that's kind of an important part of being a musician too.
What's the date of that Whiskey show? January
23rd.
23rd. So that's a Tuesday. Right. Okay. That's awesome. So if you're out that way, make sure you check this band out. And let's talk now about what's happening in 2018. You're going to NAMM. You're going to come back from NAMM. You have two albums out. One you did in 2010, one in 2016. Now you have Tyler on board as a not only a drummer, but probably a partner in some songwriting, etc. What do you see happening in 2018 for you guys? And how is Tyler's contribution going to change maybe the way that you guys write songs?
I think definitely I'm probably going to return more from a songwriting stance to doing heavier stuff. I think it will still be highly melodic and still very much oriented around the vocals. But what I found from working with Tyler versus working with session musicians is just he interprets my music in a whole nother way that I never really thought about it. And it's not a conventional way either. So he's not a drummer that will simply settle for doing the generic rock beat for every single song. He understands and appreciates the fact that I really like dynamic songwriting. So, you know, if I've got a big section in a rather slow, you know, kind of clean sounding song where I decide I'm going to change it to chugging and turn on the distortion, he's equally going to change what he's doing drumming wise and, you know, emphasize those highs as well as pull it back on, you know, the cleaner and the softer parts. And that's why I really, really love the dynamic of how we work together, because it kind of emphasizes everything in the right place. So I'm excited about getting in the studio for the first time and being able to complement each other's talents and express, you know, my songwriting in a different capacity. And then in terms of 2018, well, we're really hoping again to have an awesome tour season. The past 2 years, you know, we're a brand new band still, you know, getting our feet off the ground. And the past 2 years, we couldn't be more thankful and appreciative of the incredible show opportunities that we've had. So in addition to Summer NAMM, like last year, we also opened for Smash Mouth. Oh my God.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
We also played Stars and Thunder in Timmins, which is a massive event. We also played Riverfest Alora. So like we got the opportunity to play a lot of incredible festivals already. And we just want to keep on going with the momentum and seeing where it can take us. I mean, rock and roll is what we absolutely love to do. We love being able to share music with people and be able to connect with them musically. And we're just out there having a blast doing what we love. And it's really, really awesome to be able to do that and have that opportunity.
Yeah, we're having a hoot.
I thought you were going to the gym, Tyler. No. So
I'm a special snowflake. Leave me alone, all right?
So I want to ask you this question because I often think how the impact of social media, right? And I said off the top to you when we started talking that I started following you on Instagram and stuff, and you do a great job promoting your stuff, teasing your audience. If you were to give musicians who are kind of struggling with that, what advice would you give them to kind of get their name out there, to get their music out there, and to get known? Because it's a real busy world out there, and people have access to everything, and they have access everywhere.
I think the reality is that social media has been a major game changer for the music industry in general, because what it's become is not only a means of self-promotion, but it's also become absolutely central in terms of how people even determine lineups for events. And as well as media coverage, like I've heard several comments from various people in the industry, you know, asking about people's social media numbers and if they don't have a high following or if they don't have decent engagement, how, you know, that might result in them not getting booked for something. And I know that kind of seems ridiculous because at the end of the day, social media, I kind of think of it as a high school popularity contest. So what I have tried to do, and by no means am I an expert, I'm still trying to navigate it the best that I can too, but what I've tried to do is just understand the importance of consistency and understand the importance of, you know, really, really driving home major events because and major announcements. Because the thing is, when we live in a world where everybody's scrolling wildly through their cell phones, you know, and only seeing things for about 2 seconds at a time, being consistent, making sure you post things repeatedly and, you know, really, really milking announcements for what they're worth is what matters. And especially because Instagram is kind of taken over in terms of being a primary way of getting stuff out. I think having really strong visuals and good graphics behind everything that you do is important because you want to grab people's attention. If they're only going to give you, you know, 30 seconds, you need to have that 30 seconds and make sure that people are going to actually pay attention to you as opposed to the millions of other things out there that they could be paying attention to.
Before we conclude, I have to ask you a couple of things. Number one, do you still write as a journalist for music? I know you had a column there for a while. Like, do you still do that stuff or no?
No, I did that for, I think, 3.5, almost 4 years, and I got syndicated, and I had like 100,000 readers at one point.
Right, that's right. Yeah.
Even though I don't do that anymore, all of my columns are still archived online and you can find all of the advice that I was happy to give to my fellow independent musicians just based off of my own journey and experience as a musician trying to navigate the Canadian indie scene.
I also mentioned this, although you didn't hear it at the beginning. My favorite line, crowned one of the 72 hottest babes in Canada. So how did this happen? I have to ask that question. Not that you're not. I'm just saying, how did this happen?
Oh, what, should I be offended?
No,
are you
I'm not.
That Tyler is said should be one of these babes? I mean, he is a pretty attractive man. He's pretty.
I just wondered. I read it here and I thought that's interesting. So I just thought I better ask.
Basically, long story short, and that happened like quite some time ago, I should also mention. That was like the early 2000s, so maybe I still don't hold up to that. Who knows?
You might be top 50 now.
Yeah, top 100. I think I've gone down in the ranks. Basically, long story short, you know, that was when I was kind of heavily doing a lot of modeling because I've done that, you know, on and off over the years just for fun and submitting to various magazines trying to get my photo published. And I got told I was going to be featured in a magazine. I'm like, okay, well, that's pretty cool. And they're going to do this feature of what was supposedly the 72 hottest babes in Canada. And I guess I was one of them. Pam Anderson, of course, was on the front cover. So I'm no Pam Anderson. I didn't get the cover, but I was at least one of them.
That's still a nice title. And by the way, if you want to reach out to Rose, it's rosecoraperry.com on Facebook. Rose Cora Perry Official. We talked about Twitter. Twitter sucks, at Rose Cora Perry. And YouTube, you can go to Rose Cora Perry as well. Final question, or maybe it's not really a question, but a comment, but I would love for you guys to come down to Niagara, or when you're in Niagara, to reach out to us and to come on our TV show, BS Live Rocks, on your TV Ontario. We film it once a month in Niagara Falls. I hate for you to come all the way to Niagara Falls to do that because it's a short session. But if we can make something work, man, I'd love to have you guys come in and chat on TV and talk about a lot of this and some other stuff if you're good with that.
Well, as it were, our newfound awesome bassist is from Niagara Falls,
well,
and her family lives out there. So it's quite possible we could hook up a little road trip where we'd have a place to stay and we could do a TV thing.
Yeah, because the show gets filmed on a Sunday, and like the interviews are maybe 10 minutes, right? So I always say to people that are from out of town, I hate for you to travel hours to come to talk for 10 minutes, right? Because the show is only a half hour and there's a number of different things within the show. But I mean, if we can make it work and you guys can come down and you're down here, that would be awesome. And yeah, we'll see what we can do.
We would love that. We're honored that you asked. So thank you.
Yes, thank you.
Rose Cora Perry, and the truth has now been told.